It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
We could leave the ball in Cook's hand. We could put it in Dalton's hand. We could put it in Knox's hand. We could put it in 13. We could put it on zero. We could put it on so many different guys at any point in the game. And I think that that's what is keeping the game more exciting and more fun, because don't nobody know where that ball is.
I've said a thousand times, and I keep saying it, he's a freak of nature. I mean, even when he's throwing the ball, he's putting the ball to where only we can make the play on it. So freak of nature, dog, I mean, all those things.
Allen back to pass, looking right, now over the middle, complete to Shakir. Races away from the defender, 10, 5, spins into the end zone for the touchdown. Now steps up in the pocket, throws, now he's going to run. And the beast has once again been released. Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown romp.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
This is definitely two steps from hell, isn't it? Hold on. Let's guess the name of this one. This is Forged in Fire. It's a good guess. Come on.
Is it Darkness Falls?
Ooh, that'd be really good. No, it's...
No, this doesn't sound like darkness, though.
It's To Glory.
To glory.
To glory. To glory.
Yes.
On Football Friday. Football Friday, Buffalo Bills Football Friday, is brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Welcome to Football Friday. We had a game last night. I slept through the whole thing. Not intentionally.
Yeah. Okay. Why is that?
Putting the kids to bed. Sometimes this will happen. Yeah, I lay down with the kids, put them to bed. I fell asleep at 7:30, and I woke up, and I looked at my watch, and it said 8:17, and I thought, oh, perfect, because they were asleep. Perfect. Just in time to get down and watch the game. And then the next time I looked at my watch, it was 1 a.m. Like one of those, oh, I'm awake.
Game's over at that point.
I'm awake, and then a 1 second flashes by, and you have slept for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
How was the game, everybody? What did I miss? I missed Malik Nabers getting a million catches.
A lot of field goals.
Yeah.
A lot of field goals. You missed the longest drive I think I've ever seen in my life. Do we have a clock on these things?
Yeah.
There was a Giants drive. Did you watch the game, Josh? There was a drive the Giants had late in the second quarter that, I'm not kidding you, lasted 35 minutes.
Of real time?
Of real time. It was, what it ended up being, like 15 plays, 51 yards.
Third quarter?
End of the second quarter, maybe? It was definitely in the second quarter.
Oh, my God. Yes, 15 plays, 52 yards, 8-10.
And they kicked for a field goal.
Yeah.
Didn't even get a touchdown at the end of it. I got a field goal at the end of it.
15 plays for 52 yards.
It was unbelievable. I think Al Michaels maybe even said something about, I was watching the game at a bar, so you could only a little bit hear him, and I think he said something
Holy
about,
cow, the
and this drive is still going, huh?
How about the Giants' drives here? 8 plays, 51. 11 plays, 51. 15 plays, 52.
Mm-hmm.
11 plays, 77.
Yeah.
10 plays, 28 yards, field goal.
I didn't even remember that one. That's way more impressive.
Yeah.
10 plays, 28 yards.
Wow. One thing about
it was a little bit. Dable was mad after the game about, like, man, we moved the ball all night. We couldn't score touchdowns.
Yeah.
That really was the epitome of playing defense today in the NFL. Like, they're moving the ball, but hey, you're going to have 10, 15 play drives. You're going to make one mistake, and you're not going to get to the end zone.
The Giants ran 65 plays to the Cowboys 51.
Yeah.
Wow.
And probably got outgained.
Maybe.
The Cowboys had a couple big plays.
It was close, yeah.
Okay.
Explosive plays. That's what it is. Like, they had a CeeDee Lamb big touchdown play.
Yep.
How about this? You know, we're sitting here living in the life of everybody eats. In Dallas and New York, a couple people eat. The box score for the Giants, you might think, like, all they do is throw to Nabers. Your guy, Wandale Robinson, had 11 catches.
Yes, he did.
It was
over 4.5.
It was,
what a gimme.
Nabers, 12. Wandale Robinson, 11.
Yeah.
And then after that, Darius Slayton, 3.
They had, Daniel Jones threw the ball 40 times. Nabers and Robinson combined for 29 targets.
Yeah.
Two players in one game combining for 29 targets.
Which... You know, hey, listen, it's not like the Bills are cornering the market on the only way to pass the ball. I would ask you, okay, you can throw it to neighbors 12 times. If you'd rather not do that, you should that ball instead go to Jalen Hyatt or Tyrone Tracy.
Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
Theo Johnson. Who, I don't know.
It is funny because I guess what I want to say about that is coaching matters. And right now, like, Brian Daboll might not last in New York, but he's working with Daniel Jones, who we all know is how many steps below Josh Allen.
And what
Daboll is able to do there is work neighbors everywhere to get him open.
Yeah.
They work so hard to get him open, and he ends up with 12 for 115. On 15 targets, by the way. So 12 for 15. And for Wandale Robinson is 11 for 14. I would almost want to say...
11 for what?
11 catches on 14 targets.
Sorry, I thought you said yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah. 11 catches, 14 targets. Right. Neighbors,
12 of 15.
CeeDee Lamb was 7 of 8.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson, 7 of 7. So, you know, we watched the efficiency king here with Khalil Shakir, who you heard there in the open. He's the efficiency king, but I think that's good coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get efficiency with Josh Allen and to spread the ball around the way they are and where he puts the ball wherever he wants, like, he's a freak show. Daniel Jones, how many other teams would he start for? Is it five?
Is it any? Who would he start for? Right now, who would he start for?
Would he start for?
Would he start for the Panthers?
I don't know.
I wouldn't put him over Andy Dalton.
You would have put him over Bryce Young.
I would have put him over Bryce Young. I wouldn't put him over Andy Dalton.
Right, but who else would he start for? And what you got
is another one.
A coach and coordinator and system that still finds a way to get the ball to its best players with efficiency.
Yeah.
And then it just dies there because you're not getting the off-script stuff from Daniel Jones that you get from, of course, from Josh Allen. I mean, Jones ends up 29 of 40 for 281 and 7 yards of play. That's not that bad.
Right.
He got sacked four times. You know who doesn't get sacked? Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I saw, it's chart season, baby. We love charts. Not only is Allen number one in the NFL at avoiding pressures,
yeah,
the Bills' offensive line is also very good at not giving them up. Basically,
they might be like the best in the league right now.
Right. If it keeps going this way, Josh Allen, knock on wood, like, you're not going to touch him this year. He's just going to live. He might as well wear a red non-contact jersey back there because you're not going to touch him.
Yeah.
The way that the season's gone for this offense. So,
I wonder. I don't want to jinx anything, but I wonder what the record is for fewest sacks when starting a full season. Because I feel like that combination, he might be someone that could break that record.
Don't you feel like Brady has the record?
Probably.
Because
he never holds onto the ball for more than a second.
Or Rodgers or...
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Tua is a guy that never got sacked. Mahomes rarely gets sacked. It's a good question to look that up.
Yeah, I'll look it up. That game last night, though, like you mentioned how they worked to get neighbors. It's a combo, right? Neighbors, he's always in motion or they're moving him around. It just feels like, hey, let me just get you single coverage. I'm going to move you to a spot where you just got to beat a guy one-on-one. And Malik Nabers is Tyreek Hill, but he's 6'3". Like, I can't find another guy in my mind that he looks like when he moves. How fast his feet move. Like, you can't cover him one-on-one. There is no covering him one-on-one. So, that is like, you got to work a little bit to get him open. For me, the only thing you got to do if you're Brian Daboll is... I don't even have to care what route you're running. Just let me find a way to get you the most single coverage looks as possible, and I'm just going to let you cook.
Yeah.
Because you are going – these corners, Trayvon Diggs is covering him a lot last night. Neighbors, all he's got to do is start running straight, and these corners are like, oh, my gosh, he's about to run past me at a million miles an hour. And he throws them off, and then just – that dude can hit the brakes when he's moving 20 miles an hour, unlike, again, maybe Hill – is like the only other guy in the league like this, and then he's got 5 yards of separation just on a simple curl route. Like, he might already be. Is it crazy to say he's already the best receiver in the NFL? He looks to me, that's how he looks, how good he looks. He looks unbelievable.
One thing about, as you mentioned, like, he can stop fast.
Yeah,
that's maybe this is the shuttle drill where this comes in, or the three cone. But
yeah,
how do you test that? How do you put a score on that?
Right,
the ability to go from top speed to stop.
It's almost like not quite zero to not how fast these guys are on, like 20 miles an hour.
Right,
it's not quite zero to 20.
It's 20
how fast
zero.
Can you go 20 to 0?
Which is a very important trait,
right?
If you're going to be a guy like that, so he's great. And if you have him anywhere in fantasy or dynasty, you have to feel like $1 million because they throw to him all the time. You know, we language, of course, like we get into a lot of this about like forcing the ball somewhere. I don't think they force the ball to him.
He's just open.
They just make a point to, like, hey, this guy's the best player. Daniel, you should throw it to him a lot. And I guess, you know, Wandell Robinson had 14 targets, too. So they've got two pieces they like. And the rest of it is, you know, it's the Giants. I feel bad for them. I really do.
No, I don't feel bad for the Giants. Why would we feel bad for the Giants?
You're probably right. Who's their quarterback next year?
Ooh.
I mean, if they finish at the bottom of the draft, that's going to look a lot like the Bears do this year, where, hey, you've got a couple pieces in place already. I mean, if you're a Giants fan, you might want them to score out the wazoo and finish with a top five pick. And,
yeah.
Okay, let's get a quarterback for Neighbors.
Because I don't really think there's, off the top of my head, there's like some good veteran that's going to be available in free agency next year.
Yeah.
That would have been Dak, right? But he's not. Oh, I'm looking real quick. There's one guy. Bidding war for Sam Darnold. Get ready for that.
Right.
Back to New York, but for the other team. No, I guess they'll draft one, right?
Yeah.
They're not going with Jones again.
Maybe Darnold. I mean, maybe. But listen, Brian Daboll was here when they picked Josh Allen, and maybe he likes Sam Darnold. It's possible.
Yeah.
Go back far enough. Josh has the stat on the fewest sacks a quarterback took in a season.
Okay.
So this is based off of having 500 or more passing attempts in a season.
All right.
Perfect.
Dan Marino had 6 sacks on 606 passing attempts in the 1988 season. Okay.
That checks out.
That's going to be tough to beat.
That's
6. Pretty good.
The next closest is Joey Harrington with 9 in 2003 for the Detroit Lions. He had 554 passing attempts.
Should that surprise me that Joey Harrington is on that list? I don't remember him, I guess, very well, but I would have thought he was someone that took a lot of sacks. Allen has 2 sacks taken already this year.
Yeah.
So he's not quite on pace to break that record.
What's the fewest he's taken in a season?
The fewest sacks he's taken in a season is 24.
Man, that's still a good number.
Yeah, on almost 600 attempts.
I saw recently a breakdown of, you know, maybe you've seen that an explosive play means you're 10 times more likely to score on a drive. Right now in the NFL, the splits between teams that score on a drive, if you got sacked and if you didn't get sacked on that drive. Like, sacks are not quite turnovers, but they are drive killers.
Are they the bizarro explosive play?
It's the negative explosive play,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
right.
It's the if I get a sack on any one of the first, second, or third down plays, now you need an explosive play for a first down, right? Let's first and 10. Now it's second and 17. You need a big play.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a second down sack and it's third and 16, now you need literally an explosive play just to keep your drive going. So, yeah, the explosive plays. And I started thinking about this, too. You know, interceptions and turnovers. And if we sit here and say, which I have for years, like, I don't care about turnovers. I don't care about interceptions. Punts are turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when NFL defenses, maybe begrudgingly, but ultimately get to the same spot? All this stuff about, hey, 12 play drives, go for it, knock yourself out, let's keep it in front of us, let's bend but don't break, let's play 2 high safeties or cover 3 or whatever. Let's make sure we don't give up big plays. What they're also saying is, I don't need to force a turnover. I just need to get the ball back however I can. Less pressure to get a pick. Less pressure to make an aggressive play. And more of a belief that, listen, if we just get a couple of plays here or there, they're going to give us the ball back, but they're going to kick it. They're going to punt it. Because true turnover is something that we've charted here for a couple of years. If you just count punts as turnovers, then you find out which defenses are the best at getting the ball back for their offense. Not the team that got, 11 fumble recoveries. It's the team that forced the most punts.
And right.
If defenses jump in on that idea, well, that would make sense to me. Like, hey, you know what? Instead of an interception, instead of a fumble, if we get one sack on a drive, we will kill this drive. So get to the quarterback for the sack and, turnovers or whatever.
Right. Those drives, those long ones yesterday, man, like the 11-play 55-yard field goal drive that took an hour for the Giants, how did the drive end? They're down at the 31-yard line of Dallas. And what do? They take a penalty. That's it. They take a penalty. Now they're in first and long. They get 10 yards on the series, but they took a penalty. So now it's 4th and 6, and they have to kick a 30-yard field goal.
Yeah.
One thing blew up the whole drive and made it 3 points instead of 7. That's it. That's all it takes.
That's the whole goal. 803-0550, our phone number. It is Football Friday. We'll get through the week's worth of games. We'll check in with Sal, with Chris Brown, with Brian Wacker, who covers the Ravens in Baltimore at 7:30. Maybe a quick check-in on the Sabres, who play today in a must-win game, according to the show. Red Bull Munich today.
They're on the ice right now.
They play at 2:30 today.
Yeah, the Sabres just tweeted out, I didn't realize this, it's the arena's inaugural event.
Ah.
The Sabres are playing in that arena's inaugural event. And the glass, like the boards are weird. Like obviously the glass is clear.
Glass, okay, good.
But I feel like...
it'd be funny if it was like frosted glass.
I feel like the boards are frosted glass.
No, we brought the wrong glass in.
I do feel like the boards are frosted glass, though.
Yeah?
It's hard to tell. I think they're clear, the boards. And then there's like a little red ribbon on the bottom.
Are you sure what you're looking at is not entirely some like digital LED board?
You think the boards are entirely LED?
Yes.
You can see the players' like reflection, though, as they skate by the boards.
That could still... Oh, yeah, I guess that still could be LED of some sort, though. Is that our future? What do we have LED boards?
Yeah, I mean, that already exists in a lot of places, or at least where they can superimpose stuff over top of them.
Right, yeah.
I guess you can see the players' reflections, but also in the boards, you see those little white spots moving?
Yeah, I do see that.
Isn't that digital? That'd be my guess.
I think you're probably right. I'm looking. Yeah, that's got to be digital too. Okay.
803-0550. So the Sabres play. Rasmus Dahlin announced as the captain. Good. Connor in Buffalo leading us off on a Football Friday. Hey, Connor, what's up?
Not much. I just wanted to talk about how amazing that last game was. Like, it was super loud. I know a couple of you guys were there. But going back on what Jeremy said, an outs and out, whether it's a pop out or a strikeout, an outs and out. Doesn't really matter. But Josh Allen, watching this guy from, I've had seasons for a minute, watching this kid grow into a man and leading this team, just walking down each time, just walking down, no matter who it is, and just making everyone incomparable to him is just incredible. It's a privilege to go to each game and watch this person just be the best person in the NFL, the best player.
Yeah,
it is absolutely incredible.
I saw thanks Connor. I saw Dan Orlovsky on ESPN rank this year's top five quarterbacks. I mean, Allen was number one and Mahomes was not on the list.
I saw that.
Not on the list.
His list was kind of funny. Didn't he have
Geno Allen? Smith was up there.
Yeah.
Rodgers, I think, was up there.
And three Jet quarterbacks. Darnold.
Oh.
Three Jet quarterbacks on the top five.
Hey, you know, with Allen, I sometimes, does it happen to anybody else? You just be like walking through the grocery store or just driving down the road and thinking like, man, that dude is so good. He's driving. He's so good. Yesterday, the Keon Coleman touchdown pass, just a couple different angles of that came across my social feeds. And I was just like, wow, look at this throw.
Yeah.
Look at that throw. It's nuts.
He's a little flick of the wrist sometimes, yeah, even, is all it is.
He really is.
And the ball just pops.
He's better than anyone could have ever imagined. When you draft a quarterback, you hope the quarterback is good. And you kind of can't even imagine it, that he could be this good. I'm thinking back to week one? Whatever week it was where Andrew in Pittsburgh called him a poor man's Ben Roethlisberger, as a compliment, because Roethlisberger's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And I respond that I believe it, that Josh Allen is better than Ben Roethlisberger ever was. Ben Roethlisberger was never this good. He was good. He was great.
Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer. He was incredible.
Was he ever the best quarterback in the league, though?
No. No.
And right now, it's... Yeah, like, Allen is numbers-wise and just watching him play-wise. Yeah. I think he looks like the best quarterback in football right now.
It just continues to look, and we'll see what happens on Sunday night, but
yeah, right.
It continues to look like a perfect marriage of system and quarterback. And, you know, when the comment went up last week or 2 weeks ago, Colin Cowherd, who said he's coordinator-dependent, I didn't push back on that because I think a lot of players would be. Get them whatever you can to make them the best version. And if that's what this is for Allen, then, man, look out. If you get the best version of him, sky's the limit. I said yesterday out loud to friends, and this is something you don't really say in week three. I'm like, why can't the Bills win the Super Bowl? Why won't they win it this year? Their defense is awesome.
Well,
their offense is awesome.
The contenders do not look on their level. Why not?
Well, can I get the one thing I would say to that right now? Why wouldn't they win the Super Bowl? Let's see later in the year how defenses have adjusted to them.
I agree.
Because if I'm a defense, yes, the number one thing I probably want to do to Josh Allen, a Josh Allen offense, is not let up the big play. Right? I don't want him beating me with his cannon arm over the top. The other thing I probably want to do is I want to still dare. I want to get them to a point where I need their wide receivers to get open against me. Right? I want to make that so. I don't know. Actually, that's the thing, though, that's so good about the Bills system is I don't know that a defense can do both of those things. How do you limit the big play and then also take away Shakir at the line of scrimmage? You know what I mean? Like, how do I take those yak plays away?
Yeah.
Somehow, if I'm a defense and I'm adjusting to what the Bills have done, I think what I want to do is I want to make Shakir beat me on a route. I want to make Coleman beat me on a route. I want to see if your receivers can succeed outside of the play design, outside of the system. But again, because you're afraid of Allen deep and right now everything's working short, I don't know how realistic that is, that a defense can take both those things away.
The other problem with that is, like, right, there might be not that many teams that can do it, which you're somewhat suggesting is play man-to-man.
And you can't do that against Allen. You can't do that.
You've got to have the corners that can do it. And how many teams do? Like, maybe for a while the Jets have had this. The Jets have been able to D up the Bills.
Yeah.
But again, that's because they'd put Sauce Gardner on Diggs and not worry about anybody else.
Like, right.
This is one spot where, listen, I think the everybody eats slogan is possibly a little oversold at this point, but whatever, it's working. In years past, why do the Jets beat the Bills and give the Bills trouble? It's because the Jets basically say, you don't have enough horses out there that we care about.
Right.
We're going to cover Diggs, and we're not going to worry about Gabe Davis. We're definitely not going to worry about Trent Sherfield or Isaiah McKenzie.
Or Knox.
We're just not going to worry about anybody.
Yeah.
And maybe now the Bills have a little bit more of a balanced group that they can find a way to beat the Jets and look better against the Jets. That said, last time they played the Jets, they scored 32. So they've been pretty good.
I mean, like, I would expect, don't you think Shakir is going to get more attention now? Is he going to be someone where a defense goes, okay, we got to pay a little more attention to him. We got to fade linebackers a little closer to him, or we got to make sure that this player is covering him more often. Like, he might, if he continues to play like this, what will happen? A defense will respect him more, and a defense will try to take him away, and it'll be harder to get him the ball as easily as they've been getting it to him.
This is what Benjamin Solak wrote about the Bills after 2 weeks or 1 week, which was, the top offenses always have multiple targets who are, quote, game plan worthy. And at the time, none of the Bills' targets are that. So is Shakir, this is a good thing and a challenge, is he becoming game plan worthy? All right, we've got to figure out how to make sure we're not going to get beat by Khalil Shakir. We're not going to get beat by Dalton Kincaid. We're going to make MVS and Mac Hollins and Keon Coleman be the guys that beat us. We're going to close the middle of the field and make Allen throw to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Brady seems to have answers for just about everything. They've lost one game since Brady took over.
Yeah, the Eagles.
And that was in overtime.
Which they should have won, probably.
And they probably should have won.
Yeah.
803-0550. He's doing a great job. Bills fans probably feel emboldened by watching what this offense has started to look like. It looks like it's got those easy buttons. 803-0550. It is Football Friday. You can give us a call. Are you thinking about the ultimate prize, or do you not allow yourself to do that until week 8, week 12, until you're actually, like, at the game? When are you allowed to start thinking about it? That's coming up. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apple's official apple of the Buffalo Bills. It is Football Friday on WGR.
Second year out of North Dakota State to the sideline. Here goes Lamb. He gets free on the inside. C.D. Lamb. Touchdown. And for a change, no flag.
A lot of flags last night, and Al Michaels, I saw a couple different highlights. He was very upset about the number of flags. He referred to it as June 14th at one point, Flag Day, and also said that the flags had been used so much they were probably dirty and they were going to need a new set of laundry, new flags. A lot of flags last night, apparently.
There was one that, though, was like... There was like a phantom face mask that took away a big play yesterday. I think.
I saw that. They called it on the wrong team.
Or on the, that's what happened. Yep, yeah, on the wrong team. Put the flags away.
Cowboys are 2-2 now?
Yes, 2-2.
Saved their season.
They still don't look all that impressive, though.
No, they usually beat the Giants by like 30.
Yeah.
And to beat them by 5, they missed a field goal, which was interesting for the spread for anyone out there that had to.
Let's go. 5.5.
You got to win there.
From a kicker that makes everything, by the way, including from, like, he made one from 60 in the first half that just, like, it's nothing to this guy. I think he made a 65-yarder last week. Brandon Aubrey, who's probably, I think he, by even percentage, I think he's the best kicker in the NFL right now. But he did miss one yesterday.
Yes, he did. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Welcome in to a Football Friday, the weekend, setting up for Bills, Ravens, a Darkness Falls game. That's what they call it, Darkness Falls. Today, a high of 76, overcast. Looks like a nice day. We're into fall. It's beautiful. Winds up to 11 miles per hour. You know, just nice, breezy, overcast, 75.
Yeah. You asked a question earlier in the week. Did we ever get to... Who do you want them to beat the most out of the next three teams?
We did not get to that.
Ravens, Jets, and then I skipped the one in the middle, the Texans.
Yeah, is that a good? Is now a good time to ask?
Maybe. Like, I wonder what... Because I'm just trying to gauge even what I think people would say to that. You could probably answer any of the three, but, like, for me personally, it's definitely going to be the Jets.
That's the right answer.
It's the right answer? How many are going to say the Texans, though?
We'll find out.
How many
of the next three games, all on the road, yeah. Which do you want the Bills to win the most? Here's the problem, Joe. If you post a poll like this, 78 people will say, I want them all. Like we know that. Vote in an online poll.
You have to eat that.
Just try to vote an online poll.
Yeah.
Without being like, well, actually, should I do it? Post it?
You should do it, and then we should bet on the over-under of people that are going to reply with, well, guys, actually, I want them to win all of them.
How about all of them? Where's the option?
It's not assumed.
Where's the option to vote for them all?
Yeah. I think you just have to eat that there's going to be 50 people out of 5,000 that vote that are going to say that.
It's like if you put up a poll, what do you like better, pizza or steak? Like, actually, no, I'd put something else up there for me. Like, all right, just asking a question, trying to have a good time on a Friday.
Yeah.
Cowboys over the Giants last night, and Sunday Night Football on the way. After this game, Sunday 1 o'clock, then Monday Night Football, and then we can finally relax.
Then we're in cruise control with Sundays at 1 o'clock for a little bit.
Yeah, for a while.
What's the longest stretch of Sundays at 1 o'clock they've had in like the last 5 years?
Oof.
Three? Have they ever done more than three in a row in the last four years?
There was a couple years ago they had three straight Sunday 1 o'clock home games. Three straight home. Because I remember, you know, that was in the days of the camper lot. And that was a heavy lift. Three straight, you know.
Yeah.
Camper lot's a lot of work. Yeah, give me some Sundays at 1. Ready for it. Ready for, you know.
Tennessee is going to be the first of those?
Yeah.
Okay. That, if they are, man, if they're 5-1 going into the Tennessee game, we are just over the moon about them. Even if they, it depends how the games look. It's so hard to predict. Even if they go 1-2, I still feel like it's very possible we're feeling really good about them. If they're 4-2, nobody would say they would take that. You can do so much better than that, right? 4-2 might be a little deflating, but you're still in it for everything. You're in it for the division. I guess it would depend if one of those losses was to the Jets.
Yep.
Like, that would be maybe a more interesting question. Well, how many people would say, I would take the Jet win if you can give me two losses there? If I'm 4-2, but I've beaten the Jets, like, that's more of a division question, I guess. But I think we're beyond that. I think we're beyond where we were before the season because of how they've looked. Before the season was just, get me in or give me the division and I'm okay. I'll take my chances. Now it's like we're thinking one seed and are they better than the Chiefs?
Do you have the odds for the division? Because at the start of the season, it was a three-team, almost even money. Hey, this is a three-team race
right
in the AFC East.
Like, there was a time where the Bills were plus odds. Well, they were the favorite, but they were plus odds to win it.
Yeah, like so. Like,
the and then Bills... and then the Jets became the favorite.
Yeah.
Late in the offseason. Became the favorite. They got bet to be the favorite. Okay, division odds on the year. Like, the Bills are going to be
the favorite.
Absolutely the favorite.
And the Jets will be in there. And after that, it's over. And that's one thing, at the risk of buying in too early on the Bills, the only drama left, again, like famous last words here, okay? I know injuries. The only drama left in the season, regular season, is whether or not the Jets can keep it close. Can the Jets stay in this race? Do they have a legitimate foil in the division? Last year, they did.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Miami in the last game of the season. The year before, they beat Miami by three games. The year before that, New England was hanging around, right?
Yeah.
There's the Hurricane game where New England goes up in the division. The Bills have to win out to come back, and they do get it done.
They go to Foxborough down in the division.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there have been a couple of years here when, in four straight division titles, some have been easy. Others have been, you have someone with you. And I think, again, 3 weeks in, knock on wood, injuries, all that. The only drama left is, are the Jets close to them? Can the Jets compete?
Yeah.
And there is reason to believe the answer to that is yes. They have not exactly beaten great teams. They beat, what, Tennessee last week, 2 weeks ago. And who'd they beat last week? The Jets.
They beat the Patriots.
Patriots. You got wins over the Titans.
Are there wins that much less impressive than the Bills?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Titans.
No, that's probably right.
The Titans and the Patriots significantly less impressive than the Jaguars and the Cardinals, even if you think the Jags and Cardinals aren't that good.
The Dolphins, Tua is healthy
when
the game is in play.
Yep.
So it's like the full strength Dolphins.
Yep.
That you beat by whatever. The Bills are -180 to win the division, which is the third biggest favorite to win their division in the NFL.
And the Jets are like what, +200 or something?
+195.
Okay.
Yeah, right on it. And then Dolphins, Patriots way back.
Yeah, like it's really only one other team in the division worth watching. The Dolphins, I mean, they might start Tim Boyle or Tyler Huntley. And the Patriots, it's a how long until Drake May starts watch. That's it. From a three-team race to a two-team race in 3 weeks.
Yeah, easily. And right now, the Texans and Chiefs are the only teams more likely to win their division by the odds.
Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was trying to get to Tuesday, but it was busy, so you guys had a good show going. Hey, I wanted to talk about two things really quickly. So what I noticed with Brady, which I haven't really seen since Dable, but it's very different, is the motion. And the motion he's using, like especially the one where he had Shakir run around the running back. I was like, what the heck is going on? It reminded me of when the Dolphins were at their highest offensive output last year, how they were moving around. But that pass to that first pass to Dalton Kincaid, the long one, and I think it was in the first quarter, there was so much motion going on in that play. I said, I have no idea where he's going with this ball. I said, this is unbelievable. So I would like you guys to comment on the difference between that motion, because when Dable was doing it, it sure seemed like it was just a lot of little gadget plays to McKenzie and a little swing pass to McKenzie. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, and this is just an observation, I was at the Philadelphia game last year where Cook had that drop that was over the right shoulder, the sideline thing. It was right down to right where we were, and it looked like the ball went through his hands like a saloon door. And it was just like the last game, and I think it also happened at the home Miami game. So don't get me wrong, I love Cook. I think he's great, and especially coming out of the backfield, getting 5 to 10 yard passes. He doesn't seem to have an issue. I'm wondering, and maybe Sal would know, does he seem to have a problem tracking balls over his right shoulder, especially when he's got to look up? I think it's different when he's turning and the ball's coming right at him. I don't think he's got an issue, but it sure seems like tracking that way. I'm just wondering, maybe try it on the other side.
That's interesting, Larry. I would bet you the Bills know the splits of that to know if there's a thing there. Because I'm thinking about, he caught a touchdown against the Cowboys, and that was, the play went to the right. So you're saying right shoulder, left shoulder, you might have it backwards, right? Cook on the one that he dropped, I guess right shoulder and left shoulder can also be different sides of the field. In the game against Jacksonville, he's on the left side looking over his right shoulder and drops it.
Yeah.
In the game against Dallas, he's on the right side of the field looking over his right shoulder because the throw's to the sideline.
Yeah.
That one he catches. So that's an interesting question. I don't know who might have the splits to that.
I would bet the Bills do. You're going to know when we talk about like analytics and this thing. Like if a guy drops balls going to his right versus left. Like, for instance, I saw Dan Orlovsky breaking down one thing on Malik Nabers that Daniel Jones throws to Nabers way more often when he's on his left. Daniel Jones throws left more than he throws right. And, you know, if teams pick up on that, okay, well now it's kind of like the shift in football. Like, all right, this guy doesn't throw to his right. This guy only throws here. So I don't have the answer to that. And Sal's coming up at 7. We'll try to remember to bring up James Cook on that.
I'll look, because when he first got here, his reliability, like the question of his reliability was not about this. It was about fumbles. Because of his first play of his career.
He had a couple. First play of his career, first play of the Denver game. Is that it?
Maybe that's it. The last time I remember looking at this, like, he's nowhere near the top of the league in fumble rate. But drop rate, running backs don't drop balls. Well, Barkley drops balls a lot. There are a few.
The thing I would wonder...
I bet he's near the top of that list.
I would wonder if a receiver's coach or a running back's coach, you know, chalks it up to, well, it's a mental breakdown, or if there's a technique issue. Sometimes how you catch a ball can be the reason. I'm thinking back to when, was it Matt Waldman or whoever it was, breaking down Gabe Davis. Why does he occasionally have drops? It's because he claps his hands on the ball, and you don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Sometimes receivers will jump when making a catch and take their feet off the ground for the added concentration, and that's not exactly the best thing to do. So, the Bills might have something in that department as well to say about Cook, because you don't want to just chalk it up to, I'm going to get a drop occasionally. You want to find a way to get rid of those. Thanks, Larry.
There are 12 running backs in the league with a higher drop percentage than Cook in the last, since he's entered the league.
All right.
So he's not good. He's not great.
Who are they?
Number one, Josh Kelly, 21%. There are a lot of other backups. It's maybe better. Who are the starters that are above him? Jahmyr Gibbs has a higher drop rate. A.J. Dillon, well, he's not really a starter. Zach Moss. And like Jerome Ford.
Okay.
And the rest are like depth backup guys. So yeah, okay. But amongst the starters in the league, he's right up there. His are high profile, which is the thing. They're all touchdown plays, which is maybe a coincidence, but it's just kind of crazy. They're all touchdown plays,
and they're easy. It would seem they look easy.
Yes.
Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Time for Improving the Game Plan. That's brought to you by Bath Fitter. Improve your bath in one day with Bath Fitter. It just fits. All right. Improving the game plan. Listen up, Joe Brady. I know you got 5 touchdowns on 5 possessions in the first half against the Jaguars. Maybe think about going for 2. I don't know. How else could you improve it? They're like perfect. Improve the game plan.
What I improve their game
How
plan?
About... Here's a question.
Well, Warren Sharp had some numbers on this yesterday that the Ravens are a very, very, very different defense than what the Bills have faced so far. That I'll look it up, but I think it's something more, it goes to the outside more often against the Ravens.
Okay.
Than what the Bills have faced.
Should the Bills more frequently take the ball first? They love their double dip.
Yeah.
But, you know, can you... Hey, you know what? Let's put the pressure on them right away by scoring by going for the ball first. That's something that they did against Denver, right? In the game, in Dorsey's last game, they took the ball first and then fumbled right away.
Right.
Anyway, that's improving the game plan. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law, Car Crash, Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll get to Sal Capaccio on the other side. Chris Brown at 8:30. It is Football Friday.